Parshas Kisavai. We would like to have a look at this week's parsha, very much looking through the lens of Yomim Noiroim, which is now just over 2 weeks ago, and with the Avoida of Elul and Tshuva, that's the way that Ezras Hashem we will focus for a few minutes tonight on one word, actually, in this week's parasha. In Parashat Kisavai, we find a pasuk with a Rashi, which we find a similar pasuk and a similar Rashi in a number of places in the Torah. The Torah in this week's parasha writes, Hayoim hazeh, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is today that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you, es hachukim ho'eile ve'es hamishpotim. With the obvious question being, it wasn't Hayoim Hazer. Moshe Rabbeinu is not describing Matan Torah. He didn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu a while back instructed us to keep the Torah. He said Hayoim, it was today. What does that mean when Moshe Rabbeinu says it was today? So Rashi says, B'chol Yoim, every day, Yiu be'inecho chadoshim. Every day it should be in your eyes new. Ke'ilu boi bayoim nitztavisa aleihem. As if you had just been instructed to keep the Torah today. So Rashi is telling you that the pasuk should not be taken literally. It can't be taken literally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you today. He didn't. But it should be as if he did. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us and instructed us to keep the Torah today. As we mentioned, this concept, this pasuk, this Rashi, we find another number of places. For example, in Parashas Yisroi, it says, "Bachoidash Hashlishi," in the third month, when "Bayoyim Hazeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai," and Rashi says, "Sheyu Divrei Torah Chadoshim." The words of Torah should be new, ke'ilu hayoim nitnu, as if they were given today. And of course, the most obvious place to look to is in Kriya Shema, both in the first and the second parasha. In the first parasha in Shema, v'hoyu hadvarim ho'ele asher anoichi metzavecho hayoim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, these are the words that I am instructing you today, and once again, Rashi there tells us it should be as if it was given today, and in fact, lest one think this is just a hashkafic slogan, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Kriya Shema, in Siman Samach Aleph, it says on those words, Asher Anoichi Metzavecho Hayoim, the Shulchan Aruch says, Bechol Yoim Yiu Beinecho Kechadoshim. Every day they should be in your eyes as new. That's in the first parasha of Shema, so too in the second parasha. V'hoyoim shomoya tishmu el mitzvoisai asher anoichi mitzave eschem hayoim. And once again, Rashi says it should be ke'ilu shomatem boi bayoim. So we find in a number of places, there's another pasuk, in fact, towards the end of Parshas Kisavai again, Hayoim Hazeh Niyesa La'om, and the Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Brachas, you should consider as if this all happened today. It's this one word, Hayoim, that we'd like to discuss, perhaps for a moment or two tonight. What does this mean? When Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you to keep the Torah today, not literally, but consider as if it really did happen today. It should be chadoshim, as if it happened today. What does that mean? What a chazal, and what is the Torah trying to teach us with this? The lesson of this word, hayoim, is a very fundamental one, and as mentioned, with particular reference to this time of year, Elul, and the upcoming Yom Noiroim. And really, it can be summed up in one solitary word a famous word in the Novi. The Novi Yeshaya in Perek Chof Tes bemoans and berates Klal Yisrael, who are keeping Torah, and they are keeping mitzvahs. That's not the complaint of the Novi. The complaint of the Novi is the way they are keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Not if, but the manner in which they are keeping Torah or mitzvahs. And the Lashon of the Pasuk is as follows. The Novi tells Klal Yisrael, Bisfasov kibduni. Klal Yisrael are honoring me with their lips. In other words, paying lip service. As they say, talking the talk. Walking the walk. The liboy, but their heart is rochak mimeni, is so distant from me. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing, as the pasuk concludes. Do you know with the way they're keeping the mitzvahs? Melumoda. Melumoda. This is the one word that we want to focus on tonight. Melumoda means by rote. By rote, on autopilot. The Novi does not say that they're not learning Torah, they're not davening, they're not keeping Shabbos. He didn't say any of that. They are. But in what manner? All very external. Bisfasov kibduni. They're honoring me with their lips, but it's all melumoda. It's all by rote. They've pressed the button and have now kept going on autopilot. This is the complaint of the Novi. You might well remember that it wasn't so long ago we discussed in Parshas Bahaloyscha. There's a pasuk in the Novi in Yecheskel that tells us as follows. If you were to ever enter the Beis HaMikdash through one particular entrance, and there were a number of them, the Novi tells us that you're actually supposed to exit the Beis HaMikdash from a different gateway. Do not walk in the same door as you left. And in fact, this translates into a halacha lemaisa. As we know, when you get called up to the Torah, you go up to the bima on one side and you leave on the other. This is learned from this pasuk. Why indeed is it important to exit the Beis HaMikdash through a different door than the one you entered in? Why is it important at all? Who in the world cares which door I enter or exit in? So the Mirror Rosh Hashiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, quotes a Chosid Yaivetz. The Chosid Yaivetz was one of the Mefarshim about 500 years ago. He actually lived through the Spanish expulsion. And he writes there an incredible yesod. If you were to enter the Beis HaMikdash, undoubtedly a person would be taken, inspired, moved by the Kedusha, the Karbonos, undoubtedly with the most magnificent sight, not just in Gashmias, in Ruchnias. Says the Chosid Yaivetz, if you would leave through the same door, do you know what would happen? You would look around you and you'd say, ah, I'm here again, am I? Been there, done it. And I lose all that is oirerus. It's no longer fresh. I've seen this door. I've seen the Beis HaMikdash from this angle. Says the Novi, therefore, make sure that when you leave the Beis HaMikdash, you leave through a different entrance. You're seeing maybe the same Beis HaMikdash, but from a different perspective, a different angle, so that you've managed to retain that Yisoirus. You're not bored. Never will you say, ah, I've been here, I've seen it, I know what it's like. It's no longer exciting. Which is an incredible principle. We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash over here. Surely if you'd enter and exit the same door 50 times, you'd still be inspired. No, says the Novi. There's an avoider to keep the freshness, to continuously be invigorated. Otherwise, you get stuck in a rut. Yeah, been here, done it. It's the same old door of the Beis HaMikdash. The most miraculous food in the history of civilization was the Mon in the Midbar. And after a while, what do Klal Yisrael say? V'nafsheinu kotza. We're fed up of the Mon. How can you be fed up of the Mon? It's miraculous. It can taste of whatever you want it to taste of. Been there, seen it, done it. It's the same old Mon. They lost their enthusiasm for it. We discussed this in Parashas Baaloischa when the Torah praises Aaron HaKohen. For 40 years he lit the menorah every day and never changed. Why would he want to change? So we discussed then, that was the chiddush. The great chiddush of Aaron HaKohen is he never lost his enthusiasm. For 40 years, day in and day out, he never said, it's the same old, boring hadlokas ha-menorah. That was the great chiddush. That was the great chiddush. When Reb Chaim Shmulevitz talks about this, he says the following frightening words. Hahergel, which translates as habit, when one gets used to something, he says is the oyev hagodol, is the greatest enemy to any feeling of kedusha or hisroimimus. A person can be inspired. A person can be flying sky high in the clouds. Do you know what kills off that hisoirus? Habit. It's boring. It's the same old hisoirus. It's the same mon, and it's the same door in the Beis HaMikdash. And were it not to be the great Aaron HaKohen, maybe somebody would have said, it's the same old hadlokas ha-menorah. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a person can be on fire, zikim shel esh kodesh, sparks of a holy fire, and it's all extinguished by hergel. It's no longer exciting. I once heard a number of years ago from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he said, I want to tell you a story, and unfortunately, the way he put it, the story is not that long. And he explained, he said, I remember I used to learn in a particular Beis HaMedrash during the night Seder hours. One evening, in walked a young Avreich, fresh, just out of Sheva Brachas. And he came to the Beis HaMedrash that evening and he says, I remember thinking, I'm so moved, I'm impressed, look at this Avreich, just got married, just completed his Sheva Brachas, and here he is. In the Beis HaMedrash, he said, I saw that he went to the shelf, he took a Gemara Brochus, the first Masechta in Shas, and he opened it to Daf Beis. How magnificent! This Avreich clearly has a great ambition, he wants to learn all of Shas, and he's begun from the very first page, and I saw him learning Daf Beis, Amad Aleph, from Beis, Amad Beis. And he closes the Gemara and he puts it back on the shelf. He said the next night, the Avreich walked in. He didn't seem to walk in with quite the same enthusiasm as the night before. He opens the Gemara Brachas, this time to the next Daf, Daf Gimel. He peruses some of the words. He falls asleep in the middle. He remembers to turn the page somewhere, someplace, and dozes off. And all of a sudden realizes it's the end of Seder. Closes the Gemara and puts it back on the shelf. The third night, in he walks, this time once again, with a lot of enthusiasm. But he didn't go to the Sfarim shelf where the Gemaras are kept. He went to the Shulchan Aruch shelf, says Rav Pinkas. This is describing the scene that he saw. And I notice he describes this Avreich now takes out a Shulchan Aruch, Oira Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Aleph, magnificent ambitions. He's clearly given up his aspirations of finishing Shas. He's moved on now to Halacha. And he's starting from the first Sif, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somid, and he learns with such vibrancy. The next night, it's now the fourth night of this story. Once again, he makes his way, ambles his way to the Shulchan Aruch shelf, takes it off, opens it up to see if Beis, Simon Beis, doesn't quite learn with the same excitement as the night before, dozes off in the middle, closes the Shulchan Aruch and puts it back on the shelf. Says Rav Pinkus, unfortunately, that's the end of the story. It doesn't really continue. 4 nights he made it to the Beis HaMedrash. For the first two, he was clearly very ambitious and hoping to finish Shas. The next two, he was hoping to finish Shulchan Aruch, and it all sort of wore off. And on the fifth night, he never came back. And he said, I never saw him since. This is the Inyan of Melumada. Melumada, habit, hergel. This Avreich apparently no longer felt the excitement that he felt on that first night, Brachas Daf Beis, or Shulchan Aruch Siman Aleph. It all sort of wore off. Been there, done it. It's no longer exciting, and eventually he gave up. Every day in the morning when we put on our tefillin and we say Ve'erastich li la'olam, how do we translate those words Ve'erastich li la'olam? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be betrothed to me forever. Asks the Heilige Chasam Sofer, why are we describing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a betrothal? We want to be betrothed, engaged to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why don't we say we want to be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Chasam Sofer, because we all know what it looks like. The Chasam and Kala, the night of their engagement, the first time that this couple are seen in public together. Huge excitement, the freshness, the newness of it. There's no staleness in it, it's all brand new. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'erastich li la'olam. We should forever feel that enthusiasm of the engaged couple, where it's all new, and it's all exciting and fresh. It's not melumada, been there, done it. We daven, we should have that continuous relationship, la'olam. What type of relationship? The relationship of erusin, where it's fresh and exciting right from day one. This is what the Torah is teaching us when it writes, Hayoim. You must consider as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah today, meaning that it's fresh, and that it's exciting, and that it's new, and that it inspires me again. It's not chas v'sholom boring. It's not melumada, been there, done it. I put on my tefillin in the morning, I put on my talis, I take them on, I take them off, I go to learn, I come back, I do a bit of davening, and it's all very autopiloted. You won't believe it, neither would I, had I not heard it from the person who was actually there at the time. When you hear something like this, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. Perhaps you should cry. But somebody tells me that he used to daven in a shtiebel every morning. And there was a certain individual who used to come in, and he was there for hours, not doing much davening. He used to schmooze to this person, then get a coffee, and then schmooze to somebody else. A bit of davening here and there, then another schmooze. Quite incredibly, this is the way he described it to me. He said on one occasion he actually saw this individual with his shirt sleeve rolled up, his tefillin, bayis, on his arm, and he's holding the ritzuos, and all of a sudden he stops and he says in a voice loud enough for my friend to hear, and he says, one moment, where am I up to? Was I just about to wind my tefillin on or about to take them off? I don't remember now. Quite incredible. It's a very sad story. But if tefillin becomes melumada, all by rote, then there's no excitement about it. And I can't remember where am I up to. Am I in the middle of putting my tefillin on or taking them off? Says the Torah, Hayoim hazeh. Imagine that bar mitzvah boy putting on his tefillin for the first time. He has no question, no concern at all am I in the middle of putting my tefillin on or taking them off? Every moment is exciting. Hayoim, this is the very first time. The very last mitzvah in the Torah is, the 613th mitzvah in the Torah is, to write a Sefer Torah. To write a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara tells us that there's a mitzvah to write your own Sefer Torah. If you inherited your Sefer Torah from your father, you are not Yetzer the Mitzvah. Asks the Ksav Sefer in two places, in Al HaTorah and in a Tshuva, why is that? If you inherit a house from your father with a mezuzah on the doorpost, that's perfectly okay. You could be Mekayim the Mitzvah that way. Why all of a sudden when I'm being Yerush a Sefer Torah, that's not good enough. You have to write your own. Says the Ksav Sefer, this is the Yesod. If I'm merely keeping the Torah because this is the way we always did it. My father does it, so I do it. There's no individuality. There's no freshness. There's no newness about it. That's not the way to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is, as the Gemara writes, mitzvah lichtoiv mishaloi. It should be your own. Your own input, my own excitement, the way I look at Torah, not just on autopilot. For as long as I remember, we've always been eating matzah on Seder night, shaking a lulav on Sukkot, putting tefillin on the morning. So I'm just keeping on going. On we go. No. That's the terrible oyev of melumada. The mitzvah is to write the Sefer Torah yourself. And all of that is what Chazal are teaching us. That's the way we understand this word, hayoim. When we say the Kriya Shema, Asher Anoichi Mitzavecha Hayoim, I instructed you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, today. Not literally, but consider as if it was. That way, your Avodas Hashem will always be fresh, will never be stale. You'll never be Oved Hashem on autopilot, just by rote, Melumada. And this, as I mentioned, is a very, very timely lesson for all of us. When we're all engaged in the mitzvah of tshuva, 16 days to go to Rosh Hashanah, and the Torah writes, Ki koroi ve'lecho hadovar ma'oi, this is very close to you. What's close to you? Says the Ramban, the mitzvah of tshuva is very close. Very close? It seems so distant sometimes. Tshuva seems such a difficult mitzvah to come by. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the difficulty is not in the act of tshuva. The difficulty is snapping out of melumada. That's the difficulty. The actual act of tshuva is not a difficult maisa. Ki korei ve'lecho hadova moed. But we get stuck in a rut. This is the way I've always been learning, and this is the way I've always been davening, and this is the way it was, and presumably, this is the way it will always be. That's what the Yetzer Hara convinces us with. And we get stuck. We get stuck in a rut, the terrible rut of melumada. Listen to the way the Mira Rosh Hashiva very famously learned the piece of Gemara. Yaakov Avinu, in Parashas Vayechi, passes away. And there ensues a whole machlekas now, what to do with him. Remember the story the Gemara describes? They want to bury him. The grandchildren of Yaakov want to bury Yaakov together with Yaakov's children. All of a sudden, Esav comes along. And he claims, no, I'm sorry, you cannot bury him in Ma'aras HaMachpelo, and there's a whole big machlekas. And then they dispatch Naphtali. They send him off. Bring the shtar. Bring the sale document to prove that it really does belong to us. Meanwhile, Yaakov Avinu is lying there, not being buried. Says the Gemara, the son of Don, what was his name? Chushim, Says the Gemara, he was hard of hearing. He was deaf. Chushim ben Don turns up and he says, "My hi, what's going on over here?" Meaning he was deaf, so he didn't hear the whole machloikas. He wasn't aware of what's going on. So they explained to him, "Well, we're just waiting for Naphtali. He's gone to Mitzrayim. We have to fetch the Shtar Mechira." So Chushim ben Don says, "What do you mean? And until Naphtali comes back, is my grandfather going to be lying here, b'bizoyin?" Upon which he took out a sword and he killed Esav on the spot. And that was that. So what's the obvious question? Why was Chushim ben Don the only one to think of this? Nobody else noticed? Nobody else realized that meanwhile Yaakov Avinu is lying here b'bizoyin? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz a Muira de Kapshat. They got sucked into the argument. And when you get sucked in the argument, it's true, it may well be that initially they were appalled that Yaakov Avinu was lying here b'bizoyin. But then the argument began this way and that way and this way and that way, backwards and forwards. And meanwhile, Yaakov Avinu is lying there, but they'd already got used to it. They were no longer appalled, except for one person. Who was that? Chushim ben Don. He was hard of hearing, so he wasn't involved in this machlekas. He didn't get used to anything. Therefore, that initial shock of seeing Yaakov Avinu lie there b'bizoyin, that shocked him into action. It didn't shock anyone else into action. They got used to it. They became accustomed to it. Undoubtedly, when they initially saw it, they must have been appalled, but they got sucked into the argument. That's Malu Modo. You get stuck in a rut, and sometimes one doesn't realize one's own situation. So, of course, we must just say in conclusion, so how indeed do we tackle this? It's true. If we're being honest with ourselves, we do hear that voice inside of us, which is the voice of the Yetzirah, which is, this is the way it's always been, and this is the way it's always will be. I don't, quite frankly, want to change, or really think that I can change. I'm on autopilot. I'm being oved Hashem by rote. This is the way it always was, and this is always the way it will be. Well, if that's the case, then indeed tshuva is very distant, and it's not close at all. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the way we deal with heregel, with habit, is you have to ask yourself the question. You have to shock yourself into action. Have you ever wondered, when you open a Gemara in the morning, there's a question, and there's an answer, and there's a proof, and then there's another kasha, and then a disproof, a whole backwards and forwards. Why can't the Gemara just present as a list of facts? This is mutter, this is asa. In this case, you're chayev, in this case, you're potter. This is tomei, and this is toher. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because then you would never be interested in it. But if there's a question, there's a kasha, that piques your interest. Why does it say this? And why is the halacha like that? Oh, I'm interested. That challenges me. I don't get stuck into Mulumoda then. On that precious night of Leil HaSeder, Ma Nishtano Alaylo Hazeh, we ask it as a question. Even if you're sitting by yourself, you ask it as a question. Why? That piques your interest. That challenges you. Otherwise, we would just go through the motions. Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael came out. We therefore eat matzah, we therefore eat maror. It's all the same. It's all very boring. There's no excitement. There's no hayoyim in it. So how do we challenge that? Manishtano. Oh, there's a kasha. There's a question that challenges me. And this, therefore, in conclusion, is the avoida in Chodesh Elul. We have to be challenged. We have to be asked the question, do you know who by? By ourselves. We have to ask ourselves the most challenging and searching question ever asked in the history of all civilization. In fact, it was the first question. What was the first question asked on planet Earth? Parashas Bereishis, the one word Shaila. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam, Ayeko, where are you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew exactly where Adam was. He didn't mean, where are you situated geographically? Where are you holding? What's your level of ruchnius? This is the question that we must ask ourselves. Where am I up to? Not just to continue by rote. Stop. Think. Where am I holding? Am I happy with my Avodas Hashem? Do I daven the way I'd like to daven, the way I ought to daven? Do I learn as much as I should, in depth the way I should? Do I give as much stock as I should? Do I support Torah the way I should? Am I midas? Do they look the way they should? Ayeka, where am I holding? Because sometimes, what's our answer? It's okay. My davening is pretty much all right. This is the way I've always davened. Come on, there's people who daven worse than me. It's all right. My limud Torah is not outstanding, but it's okay. It's all right. I give a reasonable amount to tzedakah. My midas, they're okay. Imagine you are a bocher, 21 or 22. And you decided the time is ripe to get married. And you phoned up the shadchan. And you said to the shadchan, can you suggest the shidduch for me, please? And the shadchan says, yes, I have a shidduch. Perfect for you. So you begin inquiring. Tell me, this girl, has she got good middas? So the shadchan says, well, to be honest, I mean, I wouldn't call them bad middas, but nothing outstanding. I mean, they're okay. Her middas are okay. They're okay. Pretty average. Tell me, has she got any skills or talents? Nothing major. I wouldn't say completely unskilled, but it's okay. Pretty average. Tell me, is she presentable at all? Okay. Nothing special. Not terrible. It's average. It's okay. Tell me, does she have any job or parnasa arrangements? Not particularly. I mean, it's okay. She's pretty much okay. Imagine how insulted this bocha will be. That's what you're suggesting for me? An okay girl? Pretty much all right. I've seen worse. So the shatran says, but you seem quite happy for your avodas Hashem to look that way. Your davening seems to be okay, and your limud Torah pretty average. This girl is really perfect for you. It's an okay girl. You seem to me to be a pretty okay type of person. That's the question we need to be asking ourselves. Ayeko, am I happy with my Avodas Hashem at the moment? Or am I just stuck in a rut? This is the way it was. This is the way it will continue. Let's just say in conclusion, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and Chazal tell us, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? It doesn't say they weren't keeping Torah. It doesn't say they weren't learning Torah. What does it say in Chazal? Shaloi baruchu ba-Torah techilo. They didn't make a bracha on the Torah. So why is that so severe? So I was thinking, perhaps, do you know what the pshat is? When do you make a bracha on Limud Torah and when don't you? If I make a bracha on Limud Torah and I keep learning and I keep learning and I keep learning, I don't make a new bracha. But the next day I begin all over again, then I make a new bracha. It's a brand new Limud Torah. If they didn't make a bracha, Shelo Baruchu B'Torah B'Tchilo, do you know what that means? It was all one long continuation. The Torah today is the same as yesterday. It's a continuation from the day before. There's no hayoim in it. There's no enthusiasm. There's no inspiration. There's no freshness about it. So, of course, they didn't make a bracha. This is one long limud Torah by rote, melumada. So what happened? Churban. Eicha. Eicha yashva vadad. Eicha is the same letters as Ayeka. It's all the same. Eicha, how did this all happen? Do you know why? Ayeka. Where were you in Avodas Hashem? Where were you holding? Were you on an upward climb? Always looking to climb? To increase, to step up? Or were you just settling for mediocrity? For an okay type of by rote, autopilot limud Torah, in which we don't make a bracha, it's all a continuation. This is the Avodas Hayom at the moment. If we stop and think and ask ourselves this one word question, Ayeka, where indeed are we holding? Are we truly satisfied with our madrega, with our levels of Avodas Hashem? Is it okay? Mediocre, I've seen worse? Or is there room for improvement? If we shock ourselves into action, we ask ourselves the question, like Don, Chushim ben Don, who was shocked into action, Manishtano alaylo azeh, ask yourself the question, Ayeka, where am I? Because if not, chas v'sholem, we have Eicha. How did this all go so terribly wrong? If we learn the lesson of this parasha, the one word lesson, Hayoim, ki'ilu nitno hayoim, as if the Torah was given today, we should be zeicha to experience and feel that constant invigoration, that enthusiasm, ve'erastich li le'olam, the engaged couple, the brand new, fresh feeling, not melumada, where Avodas Hashem becomes very boring. We don't just keep Torah and mitzvahs because that's the way we've always done it, and that's the way we saw it at home. As the Ksav Sefer taught us, you write your own Sefer Torah. Hayoim, if our Avodas Hashem will indeed be a fulfillment of Hayoim, we ask that question, Ayeka, then indeed will be Zeicha, ki koroi ve'lecho adova ma'oid, tshuva will indeed be easy to come by, and that way will be zeicha to be chayza b'tshuva shleima, and thereby a ksiva v'chasima teiva.